Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's very important. Like, you got to be able to talk. And if I can't hear you back there, I got a problem with it. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just making sure that he's giving me the call, and he does a great job with it. I don't really got to talk to him much, and he's ahead of it before I am. And that's what I want him to say to me.
Bills corner, Teron Johnson, talking second-year player Cole Bishop there.
Speaking of players that have been having a good day today, Johnson.
Ooh.
Teron Johnson's been
his name has not come up a ton in terms of training camp.
Yeah. No, today I'm seeing a lot of Teron Johnson for camp reports here today.
Giddy up.
Being all over the field. My boy Dorian Strong is struggling, though, today.
Yeah, I've seen some of those tweets. And I'm like, well, I mean, it's going to happen. He is a sixth-round pick.
Yeah,
rookie.
I mean,
not all going to be perfect. It's all right. It's okay. It's okay. Matt Milano, though, having a great
toughest
day.
Toughest battles are given to the strongest soldiers.
We'll see if that continues. Coverage of Bills training camp from St. John Fisher University is brought to you by Fiegel Carr & Joyce, your border attorneys, by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Connors & Ferris, your workers' comp attorneys, and driven by your Upstate Honda dealers for great deals on the entire Honda lineup. Visit your Upstate Honda dealer today. We will listen back to Bills offensive coordinator Joe Brady come up in just about a half hour. Though, did want to mention, as Derek pointed out, there are some guys that are having good days at camp. We talked with Sal just a little while ago, and you know, he was mentioning Milano a lot, and he has been the last few days. It is not just you know, today, you know, where he has a pick on Allen and everything like that. It's just, Derek, I meant really what I said to Sal, and that is I've kind of, like the Bills, have learned to live without him. And so I have been a little bit slow going of thinking Milano would be anything other than a pretty good, fine, you know, and maybe Dorian Williams ends up taking a spot and they do truly move on to the next phase. He is 31 years old. If he, though, is going to be a problem for other teams to deal with, again, not saying he's going to go back to what he was, you know, three seasons ago when he was an all-pro, but if he can get close to that, if he can get to that point where people are like, nah, Matt Milano's back.
Yeah. If Matt Milano is even close, like you said to Sal, if he's even close to back to what he was, I already felt good about the linebacking core already this year. If Milano is able to take the snap share that he usually would, look out. That is probably the most comfortable position of the defense at that point, because then what, your primary backup is Dorian Williams, who led the team in tackles last year.
Yeah, so you feel pretty good about that.
You feel real good about that.
Funny enough, looking back at Milano's all-pro season, I mean, three picks, 72 tackles, seven QB hits, 12 tackles for loss. He was awesome. We all know that. But it does all of a sudden become a thing of, you've got Bernard, you've got Williams, now you've got Milano. I've talked a lot about the additions to the defensive line, and I think that unit is going to be just flat-out better. If Bishop, who continues to have a pretty good summer and maybe into the fall as well, now all of a sudden they do potentially have elite players who can make differences on game days where they haven't had that the last few years on defense, whether due to injuries or just guys are good, not awesome.
And yet, oddly enough, they still get turnovers.
Every year they do get turnovers. But again, in the playoffs, though, when the guy needs to make a big play, you know, this is where Rousseau, who was ascending all of last year, having career highs or tying career highs in most statistics.
He plays his worst game of the year.
And so now all of a sudden, if you do get a guy like a Matt Milano or a Christian Benford really pop off this year and become kind of that stalwart, like, hey, when they need to make a play on that side of the ball, they can do it. I mean, look, they gave up 30 points to the Chiefs, a team that hadn't scored 30 points all year for a reason. They were an okay defensive unit that at times really fell away, specifically against the run and on third down. If they can fix either, if not both of those issues, in one offseason.
Or enough of both of them.
Enough of both of them. That would be massive going forward. And this is where I've brought up, if they're even just slightly better on the defensive line, and that means Rousseau doesn't disappear in the biggest game of the year, they actually get some interior pass rush, this looks like a Super Bowl roster. I have seen on social media people bringing up, and I know Sal did with Nate on Sunday, you know, is this the most competitive camp that the Bills have had in terms of like just top down talent wise? There's only really a few positions that are open for even starting spots. And that's why I do look at it as like if the defensive line is better, if a guy like Matt Milano gets even slightly close to his all-pro year from 3 years ago, I have a really hard time, barring disastrous injuries, from not seeing this team go back to an AFC championship.
And, oh, by the way, here's one for you. More on the injury lines piling up here. Ty Johnson receiving medical attention from the Bills staff after a hit near the sideline by Andreessen. So, the saga continues.
I can't even say it's just the Bills either. Malik Nabers picked up an injury today at Giants camp. It looked to be a left shoulder. Xavier Worthy left the field for a little bit for Kansas City. You're already seeing with Dallas, they had two offensive linemen go down. Tyler Guyton, though, didn't ultimately tear his ACL, but he is going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. No one, it seems like, is having a fun time at camp right now.
Training camp is starting to become this brutal thing. And it reminds me of a tweet that was sent in by Steve yesterday saying something about like that 6 weeks between OTAs and minicamp and training camp needs to stop being a thing. And they need to do more of a 10-day, let's get into OTAs, like a little bit of a, or ready, minicamp right before training camp.
Mm-hmm.
You break everyone in, slow but steady, get everyone the install, and then you get into training camp like 3 days later. Like that seems like a much better idea. Or like you'd get 10 days off, not 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is, whew, this is getting to be, it's still very annoying to me.
And
I'm
this
not
is the
concerned.
Thing, like they'll still have their summer break. What Steve and you were kind of talking about is more just move dates around.
Move dates around. You still have your 6 week break.
Mm-hmm.
Just shuffle the OTAs and minicamp closer to actual camp.
Yeah, I mean, you wonder how much like some of that stuff plays into it. I mean, this is why they also stopped doing two-a-days and stuff like that. Like, guys' bodies were getting beat down. I mean, mm-hmm. it was too much. Now we're adding more games and stuff like that. It's not helping. We're taking away preseason games, sure, yeah, but they're adding them in the regular season.
They're adding more games. That's what they're doing. That's what they continue to do.
And, yeah, I mean, maybe 6 weeks off and then going right into training camp maybe isn't the best thing in the world. Because you do wonder, too. I mean, like, some of these guys, I'm not pointing fingers at any of the guys that are necessarily injured, but this is probably true at least somewhat around the NFL. 6 weeks away from the team, are you putting in 100% to get your body ready for training camp? Are you really? Are you sure? And then they show up and, you know, it's a hamstring injury or it's just, you know, their body's a little tight. You know, they're not able to go full bore. And so when they do 2-3 days in, they're picking up nicks and bruises. I don't know. I think there's always a different way to do it. The medical staffs on these teams are always evolving. They're always getting better. They're always trying different things. So maybe it wouldn't be a bad idea for the NFL to be like, hey, we'll move our dead period towards, you know, I don't want to say the schedule release, but we're also getting to the point where we're going to have uniform releases as like a special day. But just move them around a little bit and have your dead period a little bit earlier in the off season. And I think maybe that's what they're worried about is they kind of like having the dead period when nothing else is going on. And sports are sort of just like, we're done for the next month. They seem to really like that, but maybe it isn't the best for them in terms of the product. But now on that, though, ultimately, as long as quarterbacks aren't getting hurt, the product will still probably be good.
It'll still be relatively good.
Yeah.
You would like for the injuries to slow down, though. At this point, it is getting to, like, again, I'm still at the annoying stage, but that word might change if it keeps happening throughout the week. At the rate that it's going.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I need to keep seeing this stuff happening. That's the part that's a little more on the concerning side, is it keeps happening right now. It's players are picking up something, and while some come back, more join the sideline.
Ty Johnson, by the way, back on the field with a helmet.
Okay, that's good news, though. Ready? But that's, you know, people picking things up.
Mm-hmm.
Do they deal with it for the whole season is now something that you think about.
Turf toe with Curtis Samuel, of course, last year was really the big one where just he never seemed to get right until like the last month of the season. Then he was good. You know, especially in the AFC Championship game, outside of James Cook, he was maybe the Bills' best skill position player. I do look at it, though, too, and how much of this the Bills being safe. You know, we talked with Sal about that a few times of just like, you pick up anything, like, don't worry. You're not
We're not rushing you back.
We're going to sit you down for 2-3 days. Like, you're fine. Dalton Kincaid has knee soreness. Elijah Moore has, you know, lower leg soreness or a general leg soreness. And they're like, cool, you're down for a day or two.
Yep. Ogunjobi's got a vet rest day right now.
Right.
Wasn't someone out for heat, I do believe. Like, it was a little bit of a heat.
I saw that. I'm blanking on who it was.
Yes, I remember Sal said something about that. So,
but then that might be.
Yeah.
But then we also have stuff like Hairston, where we're now kind of sitting on pins and needles, sort of waiting for anything. And it probably won't even happen like while we're on air. It'll probably be coming later on in the day,
right,
where we learn something about Hairston. Did not go on a cart. I have not seen anything about him going to a cart. And I'd imagine most of Pills media that's at camp would be paying attention for that or seeing for any of that. Haven't seen anything like that, which is good. And I think
some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's at least a good sign. I think it's a bit of a better sign than him walking off under his own power, that for knee injuries a lot can actually mean not much at all.
Mm-hmm.
But so it's nothing terrible has happened yet for Bills camp.
And nothing devastating has happened. I don't want to wish
that into existence. I don't want to say that into existence. Don't get me wrong.
Your fault if it happens.
But it's where you bring up, like, it's more frustrating. It's more annoying more than anything because, yeah, they have a lot of guys down. And to be fair, last practice yesterday – I heard they went to a lot of run stuff. Well, yeah, most of the receivers and tight ends were down. Like, of course they did. And so that's where it becomes frustrating, because I mentioned Cole Bishop kind of loses his entire rookie year because he picks up an injury and kind of can't catch up.
And he can't
Samuel,
catch up.
Same thing, picks up an injury in camp and can't catch up. So I see a lot of people saying, well, it's July. Cool. And some of these guys will never catch up.
And that
because
the
they
thing.
Missed a week and a half of practice in July.
And that might be, honestly, that's probably going to be Hairston. I think his rookie season might end up being a little bit of a wash because of the quality of depth at the position.
Mm-hmm.
And this might be something that takes him out for a little bit.
Yeah, if this takes him out for a little bit, and then you add in the fact that Trey White has looked good at camp,
mm-hmm.
it really might be a thing of, like, take a red shirt, sit and learn, gear up, get ready to go.
Learn from Trey and Benford in the classroom.
Because the same will not be true for the defensive line. They will have to go right away with the additions of Hoyt and Ogunjobi being out at least 6 weeks. And, of course, if they pick up an injury, that could be longer. Mm-hmm. But they're gone at least 6 weeks to start the year. The young guys are going to have to go right away.
The young D tackles are going to have to go right away, and you definitely want to make sure that they're up to speed as best as possible. And, yeah, at corner, because of the depth of the position, everyone's thinking, like, Dane Jackson, does he now suddenly have some say on a roster spot,
mm-hmm.
for example, because I started kind of dismissing him at this point.
I was not
because of his play, just because I don't know if there's enough room for him as another veteran addition to a team where he knows the defense, and that's probably his biggest strength. But if Dorian Strong continues to add value with special teams, or Jamarcus Ingram holds on with his versatility, or Cam Lewis, the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan Hancock's going to fight for a spot. He was playing some free safety snaps when Bishop left the field momentarily. There's a lot of fighting that has to go on for the cornerback position to where, yeah, you could dismiss Dane Jackson. Now, if an injury is picked up by someone and it's a longish term
mm-hmm.
in terms of training camp, maybe even if it's a short term within the season, well, they might hold on to him.
Yeah.
And it's because they would want to. For that reason, have that insurance. That's why they brought these guys in. And now, hey, we'll see what happens. But yeah, it is getting to a point where, like, it's noteworthy. It's annoying. It's noteworthy. It's something you kind of want to hope slows down, because if it doesn't, man, this will look like a year that starts out frustrating and it might end frustrating.
Yeah, because it's one of those things that just keeps going. They're constantly not healthy. We're having the conversations in October, November of, like, well, you know, we haven't seen this unit at 100% yet. And that's not fun for anybody. That's exhausting. That's annoying. And I will say, I've mentioned it with Sal, I think now the last 2 days. I don't want to call it the biggest story of camp so far, because I like hearing that Matt Milano looks awesome, that Keon Coleman is really starting to pop off and starting to stack good days. You know, Trey White looks to really have found his old form. But when you're in a Super Bowl window, when you're a team hunting down your first Lombardi trophy, even just flat out just making the game for the first time in over 30 years, and especially with this core, injuries so quickly, and especially with this group, do take the headlines fast, because this group over the last few years in these playoff losses can squarely point to, we had A.J. Klein off the couch playing linebacker because guys went down.
Right.
You know, that's an issue that, you know, Trey White, our all-pro corner, went down. Von Miller, our future Hall of Fame pass rusher, went down. We didn't have them. Those excuses only go on so far. And to your point, you bring up cornerback depth. And it's a big reason why they did that,
right,
is Benford went down. And they had to go Rasul Douglas and Kyer Elam. And that led to nothing good at all. Now they've drafted two guys. I mean, you can even throw in Hancock there as well, but he's going to be kind of a more versatile, kind of everywhere guy in the secondary. But they made additions there, including bringing in Trey White. The additions on the defensive line and everything they've got there. The additions in the linebacker room. They really have set themselves up to, if these happen, and it's football and it's a long season, they likely will happen. They're in good spots, but you will lose something when starters go down for backups. That is just a fact.
You will lose something as starters go down. And Matthew Bove tweeting something that is kind of painting the picture of how the day has gone and how the week has kind of started off for them. If you want to know how the day is going, Josh Allen threw a deep touchdown to Steven Gosnell.
Not a real person. Got it. Dan's playing tricks on everybody. That's not a real person.
That's how camp has gone at the start for the Buffalo Bills. And again, I'm not worried yet. I'm definitely annoyed. And you definitely want to like find the toggle switch of like settings, turn injuries off for just a day. Just a day. Give us 1 day of respite.
But it has made every single practice
a little worrisome.
A little worrisome. And we haven't even gotten to games yet.
Yeah.
And ultimately, thanks to the Rams, a lot of starters don't play in these games, right? But if backups start going down, if you do start picking up injuries, that is going to happen regardless. You have to play the games. You can't just sit there and go, well, we forfeit. Just notch an L. You have to play the games. You have to.
Like, the Bills brought in Willie Snead.
For a workout. Justin Ross as well.
Yeah, like, they're bringing in guys for workouts. It's like, can we slow down just a little bit, please? That's it. That's all I want right now. It's just, I'm not asking for, hey, stop with injuries. At least just slow it down. I'm definitely getting annoyed with seeing, hey, there's another one.
There's another one. Even more to this, it's around the league. Patriots all-pro corner Christian Gonzalez suffered a hamstring injury during Monday's practice. Is going to sideline him for a bit. This is coming from Jordan Schultz. Told, though, it will not impact his week one availability. But again, it is one of those you miss the key components to building your season as a team during training camp. You're going to miss those days. Now, Christian Gonzalez is an awesome player. He's all-pro corner, and he absolutely deserved that. But to a Patriots team that is trying to take the next step, and they have a lot of questions on offense, maybe not a quarterback, but kind of everywhere else, their defense needs to be the big unit for them, and Gonzalez is a huge part of that. He is maybe the biggest part of that. And it's happening everywhere. Xavier Worthy, I think I saw he went back on the field with his helmet for the Chiefs. Malik Nabers, I've not seen anything yet on him. I've already mentioned the stuff with Dallas, them losing Tyler Guyton for 4 to 6 weeks, although not a torn ACL. They also had an offensive lineman, I believe, break a bone in his neck or on his shoulder.
Christian Gonzalez reportedly suffering a hamstring injury yesterday that will sideline him for a bit.
Yep.
So like he might miss a good amount of camp for the Patriots. Man. No, like you said, nobody's having fun.
Yeah, nobody's having a good time at all. 803-0550, the number to call. On that, though, I mean, like, to end this maybe more on, like, a positive note.
Yeah, let's not talk about doom and gloom constantly for an entire
it is good, though, that segment. Like guys like Matt Milano and Trey White, who I think most of us coming into the year were maybe not expecting too much from them. Of course, when you picked up Trey White, you get Max Harrison, and the assumption is, well, yeah, Trey White may start camp as CB2. The hope is always Harrison will just take it over.
Correct.
You know, just kind of this this bloodless coup almost in a way where, yep, all right, yep, Hairston just one day is CB2. Matt Milano, you mentioned it, Dorian Williams, he is that guy that led the team in tackles. Maybe he really is becoming their next off-ball linebacker as a starter. But to see them both starting practice so well, starting the pad of practice so well, starting camp so well, it does allow you to maybe not force the rookies in. I know a lot of Bills fans do get very annoyed, and I'm even part of that, of play the young guys. It can work. They can add a pop to your team.
I also think it's a misconception.
But I think it's become a misconception over the last few years. They do get those guys in. And also, it's not always a bad thing to just flat out play the better players. It doesn't mean they're taking too long to get Hairston in or Dorian Williams getting, you know, sidelined. If the best players are the best players, you play them. I think early on there was maybe this they're not playing the rookies enough. Come on, get them in, what have you. Mm-hmm. Now I don't really have that. Osiris Torrance played a ton right away. I don't think he's missed a game.
He was a starter day one.
Spencer Brown, as a fourth round pick, it took him three games, and then he's been their starting right tackle since, outside of injuries.
And then literally a battle between two rookies for cornerback two a couple of years ago, mm-hmm. Christian Benford and Kyrie Elam.
And they had no issue giving a lot to a sixth-round rookie. They had no issue doing that.
No issue with it. They didn't hesitate, as a matter of fact. Yeah, I think that it's a little bit of a misconception on like the rookie thing. I do think right now it's Trey White's own ability mm-hmm. that has held off Hairston more so, because Sal said, like, he may even think of it as it's just when they're comfortable with Hairston that they'll be ready to cede those snaps to him. But if Trey White's going to keep playing like this, they're not going to rush this, especially if Hairston picked up an injury that is going to last a little bit. Why not play it on a slower burn at that point? Because, hey, White looks good. Trey is looking fine. He looks like he's back. He's, speaking of injury, not dealing with something like that for the first time heading into a camp in a couple of years. So he's the freshest he's going to feel. And also mm-hmm. just even mentally in that sense, like I said yesterday.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. Milano having a strong camp. He's also someone that's not dealing with an injury into it right now. And please let that one stay that way, please.
Well, because he's been somebody.
Last year it was, he tore his bicep hitting the tackling dump.
Making a routine play in practice.
And it, like, I get, like, that's one of those I'm just like, oh, that was going to happen at some point anyway then. You know,
right?
Like, that's such a bad luck play. Mm-hmm. Like, I guess that, like, I don't know, maybe that was going to happen all along, or it's just, that is one tough tackling dummy.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number to call. Sal Capaccio has more on practice today, including Max Hairston leaving the field on Tuesday, up at our website, WGR550.com.
Hey, listen all this week, by the way, for your chance to win a pair of grandstand tickets to the NASCAR Cup Series weekend from Friday, August 8th to Sunday, August 10th at Watkins Glen International. The Go Bowling at the Glen brings the drivers of the NASCAR Cup Series to battle it out around the historic New York Road Course. Tickets are on sale for the entire NASCAR weekend at theglen.com. Coming up next, we'll hear from Bills offensive coordinator Joe Brady, as he spoke with the media earlier today before practice. Derek Kramer, Zach Jones. This is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.